Well, good morning. Good morning and welcome to Bowmansville. This beautiful Lord's Day morning as we gather to worship the King. This is Renewal Sunday. Hopefully our faith and trust in God can be renewed and encouraged as we gather here this morning to worship and to learn. So Mike Wanger is here with us today. Most of you, I think, know Mike. Mike was a former executive director of TNT Youth Ministries. Now he's involved in counseling. He's a family and marriage therapist with Thrive Counseling Services, and he's connected to Ephrata Community Church. So in a minute, I'll have him come and share with Sunday school, but let me just pause and have a word of prayer, and then I'll invite Mike to come. Father God, we do indeed thank you for your goodness, your mercies that are extended to us afresh and anew every morning, and we thank you and praise you for that because we need that. So as we gather here today, Father God, I just pray that you would visit us with your Spirit, that you would minister to each one as we have need today. And I pray, Father God, that as a result of being here together and worshiping you, that our faith can be strengthened, refreshed, and renewed as we trust in you, our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Mike, would you come and share?
All right. Is it on? Oh, good. Good morning, everyone. How are we doing? Good. He says great. Everybody's like, good, good. Yeah, we're doing great. Yeah, awesome. I'm excited to be here with you in a different capacity. I left TNT in July, which was, it's been an interesting journey, okay? So I told the TNT board maybe about 5-6 years ago that I was thinking it's time for me to step down, went to seminary at Evangelical Theological Seminary in Myerstown, got my degree in marriage and family therapy, my master's degree, and I felt the Lord was kind of taking me in that direction. In May of 2021, we had our TNT celebration and also kind of passing the baton over to Kurt Zimmerman, who is now the executive director of TNT. And then I also graduated that month, too. June, my son graduated from high school. And unfortunately, July 5th, my father passed away. August 7th, my daughter got married. So it's been a whirlwind of change and transition. And on Friday, I took my state licensure exam to be a licensed therapist. So I'm like, okay, God, that's enough. Transition, can I just be on cruise control for a little bit? But, you know, he likes to constantly get us excited and do things in our life. I am going to look for a secretary this morning who has really good handwriting because I do not. So who has good handwriting here and would love to be at the board? And I will pick somebody. I don't have a problem with that at all. I'm kind of sensing somebody over here. There's one girl here, she's already bright red. She's like, no. Would you do it? No? Wow, they're going to say no? Who will step up? You know what we're talking about today? We're talking about fear. All you got to do is write. That's it. Who's got it? Anybody? Will you do it for me? I wish I had a dollar. No, she don't want to do it. Does somebody want to do it? Would you do it? There you go. What's your name? Donna, that's my wife's name. Let's give Donna a hand. Yes, thank you. Woo! Man, Larry, I don't know. You're going to have to get people up front more. Okay. Oh, right over there they are. Yep, you got it. You can pick whatever color you want. Yeah, she picks blue. Oh, nice. What does that say about her personality? I don't know. Okay. As a therapist, you go, right, what does that mean, I wonder? Okay, so what I want to talk about this morning is today we are, how many of you would you agree with me that we are surrounded by fear? Every hand should be up. It is crazy how much fear there is in our society. And so everywhere you look, you're hearing words, you're hearing messages, you're seeing images of fear. And so today what I want to do is I just want to do like a popcorn thing of us writing down what are the fears that we are dealing with or that we're hearing about. Okay, so I can start out right in the beginning. I'll write it up. COVID. Okay, I'll take it from you guys. COVID. So you can't say that. So I'll start it off. COVID. That's fear. What if I get COVID? I get sick and I die, right? Or I pass it on to somebody else, right? What else? Oh, yes, job loss. Very much so. Yeah. What if my company mandates the vaccine and I believe in my freedom of choice, right? It's my body, right? My choice. We hear that all the time when it comes to abortion, but when it comes to a shot, now all of a sudden, no, it's not, you know? But wait a second. The shot is about saving someone's life. Isn't anti-abortion about saving someone's life? See, it's just so weird. It says in the last days, the things that will be right will be wrong, and the things that are wrong will be right. Yeah. Okay, what else? Is that it? Just those two? What else we got? Come on. The unknown. Very good. Yes. What's going to happen? Will I be able to buy toilet paper tomorrow? Right. What else? Yes. Good. Definitely. Now we're getting into the nitty gritty right here. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Will I be able to get Christmas presents? A, will I have finances to buy Christmas presents? And B, will they show up? Right? Health. Yes. That's a big one. See, look how nice Donna's handwriting is. It's beautiful. What's that? Depression. Very good. Now you guys are on a roll. This is great. Keep going. We'll go a couple more minutes. What's that? Yes, fear of man. That's a big one. Fear of man. What will people think? What will they say? Will they reject me? Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, so purpose, would that, did we do enough? Is that what you're thinking? Did we do enough? Okay, yeah, so purpose, that's huge, yeah. One more. Yes, mm-hmm, absolutely. Yeah, good. All right, give Donna a hand. Thank you, Donna. Well done. For those of you that didn't want to come up here, see, it wasn't that scary. All right. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to breeze through this real quick. It's the parable of the sower of the seeds. And I just want to speak over this a little bit. So whether paper or plastic, turn in your Bibles to Matthew 13. If you don't know what I mean by paper or plastic, paper is your Bible, plastic is your phone or your iPad, whatever. Okay, here we go. Starting at verse 3, then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering seed, some fell along the path, and birds came up and ate it up. Okay. Some fell in rocky soil. Some fell among the thorns. Let's go down to verse 18. Then listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only for a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. And this is happening, I believe, in today's society where we don't have the roots in the word of God. We're listening to all these messages and the joy of the Lord is being taken. Okay? The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. Wow. That's where we are, I believe. But the seed falling on the good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. And add to this scripture, I want to add to that scripture, John 10:10, which it says, the enemy comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and to the full. With that said, my question to you is, what are you sowing with your words to others and to yourself? What are you sowing in your life? What are you sowing? What are you planting to others and to yourself? James 3:10 says, out of the same mouth come praise and cursings. Brothers and sisters, this should not be. So let's start out with to others first. What are we saying to others? I don't know about you, but I find myself complaining a lot in today's society. Complaining about vaccines, masks, the Biden administration, the goods not coming in, just everything. I just complain, because, you know, once I start getting uncomfortable, then I complain about it. But can I be honest? We're still very comfortable. I'm still very comfortable. Did I have breakfast this morning? Yes, I did. Was I able to drive here? Yes. Do I have health? Yes. Right? Do I love my wife and she loves me? Yes. Like, there's so many blessings that I take for granted. But so often I get caught up in complaining. I also get caught up in fear-mongering with other people. Like, you hear somebody start talking about some of the things, they're complaining, they're talking about fear, and I jump on that bandwagon, right? I jump on it, and I feed it, and they feed me, and we're feeding each other this fear of the unknown and what's happening in today's world, and just all of that, the what-ifs. The other thing that I can sow in my life, and I'm going to put myself on the chopping block because, hey, why not, right? I'm human, and I just hope you can identify and say, hey, I do that too sometimes. I can slander, right? We're supposed to pray for our leaders, but boy, do I rather slander them, right? And, you know, it's funny because we put our faith so much in man. And then when we don't get our way, we throw a temper tantrum and we slander and we spit and we do all this stuff. But my faith shouldn't be in a man, okay? My faith should be in Jesus. So many people, you know, I hear, oh, if we could just have Donald Trump back, if we could just have him back. Can I be honest? He's a man. Why are we not praying, God, turn our hearts to Jesus Christ? Oh, if we could just get Jesus in our nation. If we had that kind of passion, imagine what would happen to our society. And here, I'm not trying to be political one way or the other. I'm just saying is, where is our focus when we're talking to others? Is it about the here and the now and about a man? Or is it about the kingdom, the coming kingdom in Christ? That's my question. We also have a lot of negativity. Are we adding to the cursing today? I don't know if you know this statement when I say it, but I'm curious if you do. Ready? Let's go, Brandon. Do you guys know what that is? How many of you know what Let's Go, Brandon is? If you don't know what it is, let me tell you as best as I can. So there was a NASCAR race, and crowds across the country are now chanting over and over again an explanative word, Joe Biden. Starts with an F. And they just chant it over again, okay? Joe Biden. Joe Biden. And they were doing this at the race. And the news reporter was interviewing Brandon, who had just won. And the crowd was so loud that it was overshadowing her report. And it was live TV. So this is what she said. Oh, listen to the crowd. They're saying, let's go, Brandon. And so this has become, now they stop saying that word with Joe Biden. Now they're saying, let's go, Brandon, which is the undertone of the other one. Does that make sense? Did I explain that? I wanted to explain that in a very nice way in church. Okay? Does that make sense? But bottom line is, what is the undertone? What are you still saying? Yeah, it's different words, but what is the undertone? What's the attitude behind it? Should we as Christians be wearing shirts and hats and chanting that? You know? What's the attitude behind it? That's my question. Is it really sharing the love of Christ? I get the frustration all around our society right now. How are we as Christians being different in our words? Are we adding to the fear? Are we bringing joy and peace and hope to our world? Are we bringing just the opposite? Guys, we are the message of Christ. And what is Christ? He's hope. We should be presenting that with our words, with our hearts, with our actions. We should not be living in fear, but in joy. These should be exciting times for us. You go, what? Yeah, because Jesus could come back soon, I hope. And some of us are like, oh, well, I got so much I got to do yet. I get that. I was there too when I was. I still have things I want to do, right? But who says that's going to stop once we get to heaven? I believe God's going to have all kinds of stuff for us to do, and it's going to be amazing. I'm reading a book right now on heaven. And it said this, so many of us cannot imagine what heaven is going to be like, and our idea of heaven is skewed. In other words, our idea of heaven is there's going to be clouds and angels, and we're going to be singing for all eternity. And some people are like, oh, I don't like to sing a whole lot. That sounds boring. And he's like, if only we grasped how powerful God's love is and how we'll be experiencing just the freshness of God, and God is constantly creating something new, and we'll be experiencing that all the time, we would have a different mindset about living and dying. Anyway, okay. I'm going to cook this. This time's going to cook real fast here. Okay. Let's talk about to yourself. Okay, so that's the words to others, and let's talk about words to yourself. Now, as a therapist, one of the theories, evidence-based theories that I use a lot in therapy is called cognitive behavioral therapy. It's been around for a long time, and it's been even longer because Paul actually wrote about it in the Bible. It talks about taking every thought captive. That is basically the underlining thought of cognitive behavioral therapy, okay? So Paul, the Lord has it, you know? So here are some of the lists of the cognitive distortions. Now, this is stuff that we say to ourselves. And see if you have any of these, okay? Because I know I do. All or nothing thinking. This is also sometimes called polarized thinking. It basically means that you think in extremes. Instead of finding a middle ground, your thoughts automatically jump to one extreme or the other. For example, automatically categorizing everyone you meet into categories of good or bad is all or nothing thinking. In reality, most of life happens in the middle ground between these extremes. So this type of thinking isn't helpful in the long run. That's a bad person. That's a good person. Can I just be honest with you? I'm a bad person saved by grace. I'm not perfect. I'm just forgiven. And I'm not about spiritual levels. That's Buddhism. I'm about Christianity, which is about grace, and it puts us all on the same plane. The only thing that I have that somebody doesn't have that maybe is living is I have living in a dark place is I have Jesus, and they need to know him, and I want them to know him. Mental filter. Mental filtering is when we ignore the positive for the negative. Instead of seeing the balance between positive and negative, the negative is the only thing that matters in this cognitive distortion. This is kind of negative thinking and can be anxiety provoking and even exacerbate symptoms of depression. So it's always negative. Everything's always negative. Everything's always a half glass empty. Oh, woe is me. I don't have enough money. Oh, if I could only make this wage, then I would be happy. Right? Can I be honest with you? When I was making $4.75 at Oregon Dairy, and then I went to $5, I was like, yes, now I'm making bank. And then I started working for another job, and I got paid $6.75. And when I made $10 an hour, woo! I thought, here I am making that money, right? What's $10 today, right? It'll never be enough, right? It'll keep going up. Next one. Disqualifying the positive. This is one is similar to the mental filter, cognitive distortion. In this distortion, however, we don't ignore the positive. We just explain it away as a fluke or lack or of luck. In other words, somebody says, "You're amazing. Thank you so much. You did such a good job." Not really. I could have done better. Sunday school, I could have done better. They didn't laugh a whole lot. They didn't. And one guy was sleeping back there. You know, whatever. You just. Everybody all of a sudden's like. I'm totally kidding. Okay, next one. Jumping to conclusions. This one is pretty self-explanatory. We might think we know what is going through someone's mind. This is sometimes called mind reading, or what is coming in the future, predictive thinking. But usually these assumptions aren't supported by any evidence. In other words, I think, man, I gave him my PowerPoint today, and he looked at me like I think, man, he probably doesn't like me. Do you do that? You know, you jump to conclusions like, oh, they didn't really wave to me today, or they didn't really say, oh, they probably didn't like me, or, I kind of got some sniffles. I feel kind of like cough. What if I have COVID? I think I might have COVID. You're right, we go to the negative, and all it is allergies, or maybe I got some dust in my throat, or a spider went down. No, whatever. You know, we jump to conclusions, right? We jump to the negative, jump to conclusions, and it doesn't help. There's no evidence for it. We do this especially with people. Like, we just think, oh, they must think this about me, or they must think this about me. I wonder what they think. And so we're just so cautious, want to make everybody happy. Magnification and minimalization. Magnification is basically when we put someone up on a pedestal. We focus too deeply on someone's positive qualities while ignoring anything negative. I did a premarital counseling with somebody one time, and one of the questions that they take in an assessment is, everything I've learned about my partner, I love. And they both put extremely yes. And I was just like, no. Let's go back to this question. There is no way that you love everything about your partner, right? Minimalization is of your own accomplishments and lead to self-esteem issues down the road. Like, I'm not enough. I don't have that gift. I don't have school. You know, I live by that. That's one that I struggle with. And it's no, why? What's the point? You know, like, I need to love God's creation. I'm basically slandering what God's created. God spent 9 months creating me, and that woman right over there. And here I am, right? And all my qualities, my no hair, my nose, my eyes, right? My laugh, my personality. God created all that. And while I can be really annoying to some people, he loves me, right? You know, we're so worried about what other people think. If we realize how little they think of us, we would get over it. We have enough to think about in life. Think about it. All the stuff you think about in life, do you really have time to think about, I wonder what they're thinking, you know. Or, man, I think this guy right here, man, what's up with them? Look at their beards. Like, what's up? Like, I don't think about, you know, you don't think about them, but we think they're thinking about this. So they're like, they're evaluating us. And I'll be honest, as a therapist, once people find that out, people are like, oh, is he evaluating me about my family and my, you know, and all this stuff. I wonder what he's catching. I don't do, you know. Well, sometimes I do, but not always. Sometimes. Depends if they're coming with me about, I got this issue, right? But yeah, we do this. The other thing is, the other thing, we want everybody to like us. And we think that everyone must like us. And if they don't, that's a problem with us. Actually, it's probably a problem with them, you know? It may be something that they're dealing with. But the other thing is, realize that it's okay that not everybody likes you, because you know what? Not everybody likes them either. Nobody can make everybody like you. And it's okay, because the God of the universe that created that individual loves you. Loves you. So do we worship creation, or do we worship the creator? We're worshiping the middleman. Emotional reasoning. Emotional reasoning is when we use our current mood to figure out what's going on around us. Instead of processing what is going on in the neutral way, we filter everything through the emotions we're feeling in the moment. Oh, my word. I feel today that I'm a tree. What are you doing, Mike? Shh. I'm a tree. Right? That's the way I feel we're going. Where, well, bless you in being a tree, you know. Do you have any apples? You know, whatever. Like, we're just going to this place of feelings. And feelings, it's so not what we've been doing for so long. It's not logical. Like, we're not challenging these thoughts. We're just accepting. And so what we try to do is, if you feel something, first stop and think, is what I'm feeling reality? And a lot of times, it's not. Like, anger is what we call a secondary emotion. If you can get past the anger and stop and think, why am I really getting angry? Sometimes you'll see an underlying emotion that is the primary emotion, which can be a fear or longing or sadness or desire, and it got poked, and now you're angry, okay? But people focus on the anger. But it's the underlying emotions. Should, must statements. This cognitive distortion is all about putting pressure on yourself. You punish yourself for not doing more, right? There's what we were talking about with purpose. I need to do more, right? Did I do enough? Maybe I put my stuff in the wrong thing. You know what? God had you in that place for a reason. You hold yourself up to unreasonable standards that you can never reach, so you always let yourself down. We try to be at the standard that we, or these expectations, or we put our kids in this expectation. Like, they need to be here because I made a bunch of mistakes and I don't want them to make the same mistakes. So I'm going to put this anxiety that I have about them on them, and then it creates this stifling environment where they get very frustrated and it ends up causing them some serious anxiety. And so we need to be cautious of that, of these should and must statements. These expectations that are just not realistic, and instead be full of grace instead. Personalization. Do you blame yourself for everything all the time? This cognitive distortion gives you the idea that everything is your fault, even if you had no influence on how things turned out. Consistently blaming yourself for everything can leave you feeling like a victim and feeling stuck. So, the words you say to yourself, the words that say to your others, are going to directly influence how you're going to view the world, how you're going to enjoy the world, and how you're going to enjoy your relationship to God and others. I mean, let's be honest. Your words are powerful. Out of your mouth comes a blessing or a curse. So how are you engaging with the world? How are you engaging with those around you? So how do we overcome this evil that's in our world? Because it's everywhere. And I'm praying for revival, and I'm praying that people would see that there is no hope in a vaccine. There is no hope in a president. There is only hope in Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Now, am I saying don't get the vaccine? I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is I see so many people fighting over whether or not to get the vaccine. They're missing the point. And the point is that Paul says, whether I live, it's Christ, or whether I die, it's gain. I'm good either way. My faith doesn't rest on medicine alone. My faith rests in Jesus Christ and his plan and purpose for my life. I think we've got we're getting really wrapped up in the world today. versus the kingdom of God. You can disagree with me if you want, but how many of you agree with me on that? Do you think we're getting wrapped up in the world versus the kingdom of God? And the church, the devil loves what's going on in the church right now. We are not unified. We are segregated because of all these mandates, because of all these personal opinions about things. You should do this. You should have a vaccine. You should wear a mask. You should not wear a mask. You should not get the vaccine. Shoulds. Expectations. I'm putting my expectations on you, and you put your expectations on me. They're even talking. There have been people that are talking. Do we need to have an equitable divorce as a nation, where some states segregate from the nation of the United States? In other words, they're talking civil war. They're talking about segregating the country. And there, we could get worked up about that. But when you have these should statements, when you get so caught up in the polarization that is happening and not being unified in Christ, where's the church, man? We should be standing up. We should be praying. But we're not. So, how do we overcome this evil? Because fear is evil. Fear is a liar, like that song. I love that song. It's a liar. And that song, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Because why? I'm a child of God. We can sing it, and we love that song, but do we believe it? Do we receive it? Do we walk in it? We need to walk in it. We're children of God. So number one, change your mindset from this world to God's kingdom. Change your mindset. Matthew 6, 25 through 34. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them, and aren't you far more valuable than they are? Listen, guess what? You're more far valuable than a bird. Now, I just saw picture of a bald eagle that they said was really, really close. And I'm like, wow, that is majestic. But you know what? I'm more important than that bird. That I'm more important than a bird. Can all of your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautiful as they were. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have such little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. In other words, it's going to keep being worry. Worry will never stop. It'll go, 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 go. And tomorrow, when you wake up, there'll probably be something else on the news. That'll be something else. But when we have this kingdom mindset and realize that I'm a child of God, God takes care of me, I'm going to be okay. I'm okay. Number two, fill your hearts, minds, and mouths with praise. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I, you know, we could say, Jesus, I thank you that there are doctors that have come up with medicines to help with this sickness. Jesus, I thank you for hardworking politicians that are out there that are trying to make things right. I mean, we can do whatever. God, I thank you for my health. I thank you for my family. I thank you for the food that I'm about to eat, this peanut butter and jelly sandwich or whatever. Like, be praised and full of praise and just let it flow out of your mouths. Sing worship songs in the car. Sing them in the shower. Hebrews 13, 15, through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of the lips that give thanks to his name. Let's keep praising God. Because how, when we're complaining, when we're worrying, when we're spewing all these fears, I just look at that list and I go, wow, this is just so sad. Imagine focusing on this every day, 24 hours a day, until you finally go to sleep and then you can't sleep because you're still worrying about this stuff. Now imagine instead focusing on praise. This one here, one of the biggest things that helps with depression is praise. One of the biggest things that helps with your fear of man is focusing on the creator of man and praising him for those that hurt you or curse you. Praying for them. Loving them as Jesus does. Global unrest. We have a God that is still on the throne and he's still in control. He knows what's going on. He's not taken by surprise. Oh my goodness, I can't believe what's going on in Taiwan and Haiti and China. Wow, well, that's a surprise. He knows. He's aware. Our purpose? Our purpose is to live for Christ. How you do that is going to be different from everybody else. You know, for 20 years I served with TNT. I thought that was it. That was what I was going to do. And then God shifted me to something else. And sometimes you're like, is this the right decision? You know, was this what I... But you know what? I'm in it for wherever God calls me to go. And you'll if you open to it, you will see the doors. You will see them shift and move and how things work out. And God can use you in any capacity as you if you're willing to just look for God moments throughout your day and throughout your life. For instance, in the therapy room, I had a young lady who, she just wanted to come chat with me a little bit. I had spoken at Effort High School a long time ago. She was in the audience. I had mentioned all the things that I had been through and how I had gotten through them. I did say faith. That's about the only spiritual thing I was allowed to say. But anyway, she came up to me afterwards. She was 15. She goes, I was just diagnosed with MS. She's crying. She's like, I'm so scared. So I was able to just kind of encourage her and talk to her. Years later, she reaches back and she says, hey, could I meet with you? I'm having some anxiety again. Absolutely. Come. It's not a therapy appointment. Just show up. I can talk to you a little bit, so I find out what's going on. So she showed up and she's 26 now. She's in her doctorate. She's going for her doctorate. She's a doctor right now. She's just in her residency. But here, 26-year-old, so this is like 10 years later, right? 11 years later. And I said, what's going on? She goes, well, I have some numbness, tinglingness in my leg, and it's really working me up, and I'm not sure what to do. And I know that feeling with MS. This is an attack, you know. And so I felt the Lord saying, pray for her. Put your hands on and pray for her. So I asked her, and I prayed, began to pray for her. And she goes, wow. She goes, the tinglingness went away. And she goes, oh, when you were praying, I felt this tinglingness go from, like these tingles go from the top of my head to the bottom of my shoes. Like I just felt like this wave of heat and just, you know, and the tingliness went away. She goes, but my leg feels still a little heavy. And I felt like the Lord said, go after it. Don't let her leave without praying for that heaviness still. So I prayed for the heaviness in her leg. And she goes, yeah. She starts walking. It feels a lot better. It feels a lot better. And then she left, and then I messaged her a couple days later. I said, how's it going? She goes, my leg's a lot better. She goes, I started taking some medicine, so I think that's helping. I said, don't dispute what the Lord did for you. And she said, absolutely. Yeah, it was definitely God, you know. But bottom line is, like, I took a risk, right? Like, I don't know where this girl is spiritually, but God's moving today, guys. I want you to know that God is moving. And I want to jump on that bandwagon. I want to jump on seeing things happen in people's lives, seeing them receive a touch from the Lord. So that brings me to my next one, is saturate yourself with God rather than social media and news. How much time do you think you spend on social media, and how much time do you spend in your Bible? How much time do you spend on watching the news, and how much time do you spend in prayer? Are they equal? Is one higher than the other? I got to believe that social media and news and all that stuff is higher than reading your Bible and pray. Why do I say that? Because I can experience that in my life too. I know I have. And I'm not alone in that. We're so distracted as a people. But wow, imagine if we poured Christ into us. if we pour God into us on a daily basis, I believe we would be less affected by the world around us. I believe we would be more secure in our faith, and we'd be secure in what God has for us in our relationship with Him. And so when we hear negative news or whatever, we'd just be like, it's okay. I know where I stand. And last point I would say to overcome this evil is spend time surrounding yourself with good relationships. Ephesians 5, 19 through 20 says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. I would encourage us as Christians to surround ourselves with like-minded people, and also like spend time having prayer and Bible studies and connecting and coffee times together, and then talking about godly things and praying for the things of the world rather than complaining about them. And when you start hearing negative things, walk away or either put an input of, you know what, yeah, that is sad. We should really be praying for that person. You know, or we should really be praying for what's going on rather than going into the jumping along with the complaining. Bottom line is this. Your words have power. They have power. I remember a story my dad told me years ago. He said he worked with a guy who came to work whistling. Right? And the guys at the work decided they're going to play a joke on him. So they went up to him and they go, are you okay? You look really sick, like pale or something. He goes, I feel fine. I don't feel sick or anything. Oh, okay. I'm just wondering. Went down there, you know, started working, whatever. Went to the next guy goes, wow, you do not look good at all. Like, are you feeling okay? Yeah. Yeah, I feel good. I don't understand. And he went to another guy, and then I think one more. I don't remember how many. And you know what? The guy went home at lunch sick. Because the words have power, right? Words have power. You can make yourself sick. I can make myself sick. So Friday, I took this licensing exam, it was a four-hour test. You sit at a computer. When you get there, they make you turn out your pockets. They wand you. They make you pull out your pant legs. They make you take your glasses off, and they search your glasses. You can't wear any jewelry, which I don't have any jewelry, but you know, you can wear a wedding ring. That's about it. You have to put everything in a locker. Like, you can't take your cell phone or anything. No, I would absolutely know. And then they take you, and they put you at a seat, and the clock starts, and you start taking this exam. And there was a huge part of me that was like, oh, my goodness, here I am stuck taking this exam for 4 hours. Like, what if I get sick? Right? What if I have to go to the bathroom? Because if you get up and go to the bathroom, the clock keeps running. So guess what? You got to go, you know, whether IBS hits or something, you got to go, right? You can't be in there long. You got to get back and get that test taken. It took me about 3 hours and 40 minutes to do the test. I had the worst headache ever, but I kept pushing those thoughts away, and I focused on something else. I focused on the test. But bottom line is, if I would have kept thinking about being stuck there, not being able to get out, you know, that could cause me some anxiety. Same thing is when I get MRIs for the MS, like I have one coming up. They put you way in this machine, and it's like here, like the machine's here, and you're stuck in there. You can get kind of like, oh my goodness, you know. But all I do is when I'm in there, I just pray. And it's very, very loud in there. I don't know, any of you had an MRI? Yeah, and it's like, isn't it like that? And you're like, oh, my word. And then all of a sudden you hear this. And you're like, what are they doing to my head? Like, what is happening, right? And so you could get your mind really wondering what's going on. And so what I try to do is I try to focus on my prayers. I focus on just God and my family and praying for my family and that kind of stuff. And that keeps my heart calm and keeps my heart focused on better, more wonderful things. I want to encourage you to fight against the tide of fear and embrace the peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. there are going to be waves of stuff that are going to come against us. And think about all through your life, there have been times where you really had a lot of fear, but you got through it. And if you can get through it there, you can get through it here. When I was first diagnosed with MS, I had so much fear. But here I am 11 years, something like that, later, and I'm good. I'm okay. God did more in those last 10 years than I could have ever imagined, right? But I was so scared that my life was over. But God had so much more, right? Other fears, going to seminary, okay? I hadn't been to school since 1992. And now in 2016, I was going for a master's degree. Scared to death. I didn't want to go. I told my wife, I think I'm not going to go. I'm going to ask for our money back. Like, I almost didn't go. But here I am. God brought me through that. You guys have stories, too, of times where you thought you were not going to make it, and you did. And how great are the Spirit, the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives in you. So let us rest on that. Let us hold our strong in our faith, because the devil can huff and puff and blow all he wants, but he can't blow down the house of the Lord. He can't do it. All right, let me pray for you guys. God, I just pray that you would allow our words to be in alignment with the kingdom. God, that we would stand firm in joy and peace, that we would have the fruits of the Spirit when we go out and talk to people or when we go out and speak to ourselves. We would be full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We'd be full of all of those fruits of the Spirit, that we would speak that way to others, that we would speak that way to ourselves. Lord, help us be kind to ourselves. Because, Lord, you loved us, you created us, you made us, you've done these great things in our lives. So, God, let us be strong in the Lord. And let us just laugh at the giants of this world. They have no power over us. We have Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit, God. And so I just pray, Lord, that we would walk in faith and walk in love. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. I'll see you in a little bit.